with ModHop.com founder Jake Redman and travel junkie Anthony Ryan.
We got to stop doing late day podcasts.
Are you feeling it now?
Yeah, because the thing is, I get in here and it's going to be harder for me to edit later because I can't talk after, say, 1:30. For someone who's built up a career in broadcasting, it's a huge problem, but at least I know when I'm able to talk.
You know your limit. I can't
I'm going to leave that in just to prove my point.
You know your limitations. I guess I don't. I just realized that I can't speak at the end of the week.
It's probably better that we do this in the morning. So here's my attempt to read some news stories for this week. And then we're going to talk about our favorite, because we forgot to do it earlier in the year or late last year, our top travel moments or favorite episodes from 2018. That's my phone.
Who is it?
I don't even pay attention to my phone anymore. It's all spam.
Really?
It's all spam. And then occasionally once, maybe twice a day, a call from my wife.
So why don't you just mute the spam?
Well, I do. I actually have this program. I think it's called Hiya. Here's a tip. It's not a travel tip, but it's a tip. It's an app for Android called Hiya, and it blocks all the suspected spam, and it's sort of like a crowdsourced call blocker, so it knows what to block and what to just send directly to, you know, silence.
Speaking of those calls, you know what I hate is when you get those fake calls that are from a number that's so close to your own. You ever get those?
Oh, yeah.
Your own phone number, and it's like 3 digits off,
well,
and it's like, obviously, you're fake.
My phone, because I lived in Miami for a few years, mine still is 305 area code, so...
Mr. 305!
Yes, I was the original Mr. 305. But I get calls from 305 all the time. I'm thinking, oh, it's an old friend calling me. I can catch up with an old friend.
Was that spam?
And it's usually... You know what it usually is? It's that guy, and I feel like I'm the only one who gets this, but it's somebody with a distinctly, almost distinctly Texan accent asking for somebody named Jose. So it's kind of, is Jose there? And I always answer it. And I know that it's just so that the automated whatever can see if this is a human on the other line. So they know they can send spam calls to it.
Weren't you the one that was saying that they're waiting for you to say yes? Or hello, or
that's
something
exactly
like that.
That's exactly it. They want to find out if there's a human on that end of the line. It's just a sort of like automated testing thing for spammers to see. I don't exactly know why. I just read half the article of whatever, however I learned this. But the key is to not say anything and hang up.
Or just go, bleh, let's do that.
Yeah, it's just trying to figure out if there's someone there and if it's worth their time to spam you or defraud you or whatever.
Yeah. Sometimes I've done that trick where... You know, because I'm afraid to say hello or whatever for fear of them taking a recording of me saying hello and then using it in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, like they make a soundboard of you call and pretend.
So instead I answer like, bleh, you know, just some inaudible noise.
Well, I thought that was my thing for a while, too. I would call and I'd be like,
I've done that a few times. And they're like, hello, this is your doctor?
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn it.
That can backfire.
Yes, that was me. Sorry, nothing's wrong with me.
Clearly there is. We need you to come in and get another checkup.
Come in now.
Let's do a little bit of travel news and then we'll get to our favorite moments of 2018. Maybe you remember. Do you remember this? I got to preview the then new United Airlines Polaris Lounge a few months back at Newark. Now... L.A. gets theirs. The new Polaris Lounge LAX edition opened up this week inside Terminal 7. This one, although less than half the size of its Newark sibling, is still proportionate to the number of United long-hauls leaving the airport. These are top-tier lounges for United Polaris and partner business class international passengers. That means no transcons, and offer upgraded food and drinks, signature cocktails, a la carte dining. The lounge looks great, too, with spacious seating and a pile of pre-flight amenities. If you're not quite Polaris, there are ways into the fairly new United Club at LAX, too, which is pretty nice. I'll post my review of that club.
It sounds great to me, but I'm never going to get to that level.
But that's why I took advantage of, if you're paying attention, as they open these lounges, they're offering on, I can't remember the site, but if I find it, I'll post it on the podcast page. But you can reserve a spot using like 2,500 mileage plus points to go check out the lounge pre-opening.
Yeah, that sounds cool, but I've migrated my club to Chase. So I'm not using the United anymore, really.
But this is just, if you've got like a spare 2,500 miles, and not 25,000, it's not as much as a flight. It's like just 2,500 miles.
True, true. Do you think it's worth it? 2,500?
For that price, yeah. You can't do this regularly. This is just the few days before the new Polaris Lounge opens. It's, I don't think it's available anymore for the LAX club, but if they open another one.
Oh, I see.
Then they might have a preview. This is just a preview event, but it was open to the general public. Whoever has 2,500 points to spare and gets in on the deal before it disappears. They have a special website set up for those special events. Otherwise, you have to be flying Polaris or flying business class internationally on a Star Alliance partner.
Got it.
So, Sun Country Airlines.
Wow.
Do you remember me talking about Sun Country Airlines?
No, I don't. I don't.
They've come up a couple of times in the podcast, and it's, to most people, it's kind of an obscure airline. Like,
where do they fly?
They've never heard. Their home base is in Minneapolis, which is why
I'm very
familiar with them. But they're back in the news, making big headlines for such a tiny carrier, milking what they can out of their current fleet. They've announced a fairly large network expansion. The airline has been tinkering with the business model in recent years and eliminating things like first class and reconfiguring their frequent flyer program to be more in line with other discount carriers like Spirit or Allegiant. The airline announced new seasonal routes from recently added markets like Nashville, who will see nonstops from and to Portland, LA, and Providence. For Jersey-based Minnesotans like me, flights between Minneapolis and the New York area will now fly into and out of Newark instead of JFK, which is great news for me, if for no other reason to drum up some competition with Delta and United.
That's convenient for you.
Yeah. You can see the airline, while still based in Minnesota, expanding beyond it with some of these new markets like Nashville. It's kind of a good thing to see.
That's neat. Nashville?
Have you been to Nashville?
Yeah, I was there a couple years ago.
And you liked it, right?
I enjoyed it. I'm not even like a country guy, but...
Here's the thing. Is Nashville a weekend away or a place to live?
Haha. I was there for a week. Is that their slogan?
Yes.
It sounds like you need to send that over to the Nashville Board of Tourism.
But it's a question. It's not really a thing to put on the license plate.
I think it's very heavily music-centric there, and I'm not as knowledgeable as I could be, but it seems like if you're there for the music, of course it's a place you could live.
I've just heard it described as, at least by people in the Northeast, as a nice weekend. Yeah. And I don't think they mean to disparage Nashville in any way by saying they'd never live there. It's just one of those things where it's like it makes for a nice weekend.
I mean, I do know
they
people
know
who
what
do
to
live
do
there.
After this. So I think if you live there, obviously you know other things to do. So get in touch with a local when you're there, and they can show you the rest of it, I guess. Because I think when you're there, you're drawn to just that music,
that main strip, music row
centric main strip.
Yeah, so, it's pretty intense every night. It's just live music. Every single bar, which is actually, it's a breath of fresh air coming from up here where it's a lot of DJs or just, you know, chill vibes or whatever. Every single bar seems to have a country music scene and it's live music.
Yeah, or say you live in a place like Fort Lauderdale where it's nothing but cover bands.
Yeah. I mean, Jersey Shore, completely different.
Just get away from the cover bands and go some real, genuine music in Nashville.
Exactly.
Have we rebounded and Nashville
people
like
us again?
Yeah,
did we make it up
again?
To you guys?
All right, sorry.
Did we lose all our Nashville
sorry
listeners?
If we dis,
I love Nashville.
Sorry if we disconnected with our Nashville.
The Predators are a good team too.
Yeah, but they're in the same division as the Wild, so I'm not going to.
Sorry,
I'm not going to back you up on that. They are a good team. I'll
Great.
That.
See, now you lost them.
I'll never win in Nashville. I don't know if you noticed, but I sort of unintentionally took part in some fear mongering the other day.
Oh, great. Amidst
the government shutdown, I
didn't approve this message.
And it wasn't really my intention. I had just read the article, and it's really, the article itself isn't that scary. But amidst the government shutdown, I may have retweeted a more sensational than necessary headline. The debate over whether or not the safety of your actual flight is in question, we're not really sure about that, but there's been some squeeze on the TSA with workers calling out sick. While not rampant, Miami has decided to move some of its flights to another terminal from Saturday through Monday, so double-check your flight before you go to the airport. Most flights shouldn't be affected, though. Still, it almost makes you want to travel less.
Yeah.
At least while this is going on.
Yeah, well, I want to feel that, even if, who knows what the TSA is really doing, but I just want to feel, you know, safe.
Well, it's not even the safety of it. It's just that it's more of a convenience matter for me. It's like, if this becomes a little more rampant, I mean, how many paychecks would you have to miss to just stop showing up from work?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Before work. You know, at some point, the squeeze is going to be on, and you're going to need to find another way to get some money to feed your family, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, and the pressures have got to weigh on the people who work there and need the income. So I don't really feel like I'm going to be not going to be safe on my flight. You know, we're missing some FAA safety inspectors, but I'm pretty sure the airlines don't want to lose a plane.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're on top of it, at least for now. It's good to know that the FAA is there to back us up, but I don't have an immediate fear of flying. The fear I have is getting to the airport and having to wait forever because you've got angry, unpaid TSA and people working there if they showed up.
Yeah, as if that wasn't a dreadful process already.
Yeah, even with, yeah, and who knows what's going to happen to pre-check. You know, is the squeeze going to pull pre-check off of there and they're just going to do the regular line, or will it work a different way? Or, you know, are they going to do what Miami's doing and start closing terminals and moving it over? It's
going to become very hectic.
It could get ugly. But I wouldn't be afraid of flying, at least not in the near term. And I'm sorry if I scared anybody with the headline. It was another, I can't remember whose article it was, but it was the headline was a little.
The Guardian.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's your
news?
So
now that I've scared everyone away, let's recap 2018 like we forgot to do.
Do you think people still care about what happened to us last year? I mean, it's already 2 weeks in.
Why do people even care about this podcast?
You're right. We should do a quarterly best of.
That's too much.
Randomly.
That's too much.
Select a date and be like, hey, this is the best of March.
I really like that 5-minute podcast we did in mid-March.
Yeah, that one's a good one.
It was great where we read two news stories.
I remember that one.
There was the one, podcast 26. I think that might have been one of my favorites.
Do you remember the numbers?
Well, only this one because you weren't here.
Oh, thanks.
You were in Turks and Caicos and Alyssa Heimert came in here and we just ripped into your vacation photos and just made fun of you for a good 10 minutes.
I knew you were going to say that one. You son of a...
Now, if I'm being honest, I think our conversation with Laura Stiles was probably one of my favorites just because we covered so much about Thailand.
Oh, man.
And she came in with a lot of knowledge. And then I think Thailand owes us so much right now.
Yeah. Where's that?
I feel like we should be getting something from the Board of Tourism.
Yeah. Fly us both there, please.
Our whole families.
I don't know, a year?
Don't they know we have access to tens of American listeners? And that we've influenced...
We could have a global audience.
Up to 100 people a week.
Yeah. If not less.
This is why we would never work in a sales department for our own podcast.
Oh, Lord. So that was your favorite episode, was with Laura. I agree that was one of our best. I mean, that was our longest, obviously. That set a record in Mod Hop history.
Just for length alone, something in there had to be so good about it that it was better than all the other podcasts.
Right?
I think there's some math involved there. I'm not exactly sure how it works.
We could have split that up and taken advantage of more tens of listeners.
Well, we've learned that now. And so next time Laura comes in, Laura's, by the way, she'll be back on the show, I hope, because she's been, since then, been to Vietnam, Mexico City, and back to Thailand, too. So
incredible.
Follow her on Instagram. It's Laura Stiles, at Laura Stiles, with a Z, on Twitter, Instagram.
Twitterstagram?
Yeah.
I like that one. Speaking of Thailand, I really enjoyed our interview with Celebrity Hotelier. Is that how you say that?
Hotelier. Yeah, that's how I say it.
Tuasara was really fun to talk to. Gave us some really unique insight onto the tourism in Thailand and how it's changed over the years. And his spots look pretty damn sweet.
Yeah, Baba Beach Club and Sri Panwa. A couple of premier properties in Thailand. He was just thumbing through on Instagram stories too the other day, Isara Residences, which is a yet to be developed complex. And I don't know if that's a vacation resort or if that's something that you can buy or locals can buy, but it looks pretty amazing.
Yeah, go check it out.
So we'll report on that as soon as we know more about it. But what else? Did you have a favorite vacation for this year?
Yeah, for last year?
For last year, sorry.
2018, I really enjoyed our trip to Turks and Caicos, my fiance and I, when he went in August.
I saw the pictures. They were amazing.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't say, I saw the picture. It was amazing. Listen, it's not my fault that everywhere you turn, it's the same light, clear blue water and just pristine
beaches. Couldn't even turn the camera around to, like, get yourself in the picture.
I don't need me. What's the point of me in the picture?
Well, those pictures of water already exist all over the place.
That's a good point.
Where's Alyssa?
Oh, come on.
All right, anyway.
Yeah, you know what? My favorite moment of travel in the entire year was at Turks and Caicos when we were able to head over to a part of the island of Providenciales. We went to a place which was a little more remote. It was to the west. The place is called Taylor Bay. It's where some of, you know, some high-end houses are there, but there's this little beach that
you
can go to.
So you snuck onto somebody's private beach,
it sounds like. We snuck onto someone's private beach, yeah. And it's actually not a private beach. It's public, but it's kind of hard to get to, especially if you are not paying attention to the road signs, because you have to like pull into a road which is not marked that well and doesn't tell you that, hey, beach here. And then you have to drive.
So people don't want you there.
Essentially, it almost seemed like that. In fact, we were speaking with one of the locals who was talking about that beach, and they were saying that the local residents that live right along that beach were trying to get it closed to the public.
Punks like you.
Don't all go at once, because I don't want it to be my fault.
Well, you just told...
Yeah, well, I just told the tens of people that
All right. Now
they're all going to go at once.
Owners down there are like, this is no threat to us.
Yeah. They are insignificant. But that was the... You know why that was the best part of the year? It was because it was just such a, like a, this tranquil location, and we almost had it to ourselves. There was probably less than a dozen people there, and we were all spread out. And you can go so far into the water, still being waist high, and you almost feel like it's this island of oasis, that is all yours, and it's like just like so serene. I loved it.
Look at you now. It looks like you've gone there in your mind.
Yeah, I'm like...
It's sort of like this dream. It's sort of in a dream state.
I'm happy
now. Sort of floating
now.
Above the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Me? Oh, yeah, sure. My favorite... Yeah, vacation moment from 2018 was probably, it's a toss-up really, because these are two different kinds of experiences. I went to Cabo with my wife, which is probably the number one.
Weren't you sick though? Or somebody?
She was sick.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of put a damper on things, but you're still in Cabo. But, you know, Cabo is always a great place to reconnect, and you have to remember that Cabo San Lucas and Jose del Cabo are two different places, and you can have a nice, relaxing vacation there, or you can party. So we went, you know...
You obviously partied.
No. That's not where I'm at in life.
Come on.
But then, you know, the runner-up is Austin. I did a short, probably... 24-hour trip to Austin to do some barbecue with my friends from Boarding Area and beyond. There are a couple of like-minded frequent flyers that came with us and tried out some stuff in Austin itself and in Lockhart, Texas. So we went to a couple different places, and that was a fun way. If you're looking for a quick trip and just want to get some good eats and you're not vegan, go to Austin. I'm sure, not to say that Austin doesn't have good vegan options too, but you know, if you want some good barbecue,
dream.
Go to the middle of Texas and spend 24 hours.
Hey, I have a runner-up too, you know.
What? Okay.
Since you said you're well, runner-up.
You look at me like I was trying to one-up you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have second and third place then.
I don't want to edit all night.
I do want to mention a special shout out to Lisbon, Portugal. So the entire city of Lisbon. This one's for you. Yeah.
All right. Shout
great
out
city.
To Lisbon.
Again, it was one of those places where we just wandered and discovered so much to do there. And the food is incredible. Seafood. If you want a seafood paradise, check out Lisbon.
And if you want to pay too much for a marshmallow flavored drink.
That was great. It smelled just like marshmallow.
But did it taste like... Did you find out that it tasted like marshmallow? There was a whole show with a bundt cake top, and you have to go back and listen to that podcast.
You literally named that podcast like about marshmallow drinks or something.
That's all I could focus on. This entire trip the entire story of Lisbon in my mind was centered around that one bundt cake top marshmallow drink.
I want someone to go to Lisbon based on my advice, and to go and discover that marshmallow flavored drink.
All right. If you do that, report back to us if you're one of our 10 to 20 weekly listeners.
Yes.
All right, then. I'm understating that, of course. There's at least 30 people who listen to the podcast, from what I can tell by the stats.
Give or take 30.
Yeah, give or take 30. The rest, if you see a much larger number, that's us listening to it over and over again.
And our mothers.
Yeah, and our moms. That's it. That's this podcast number 40. Thanks for listening to all 40.
The best of 2018 edition.
Right.